This is Gnostic Media Research and Publishing's podcast, episode number 173. I'm your host, Jan Irvin. This episode is an interview with Clint Richardson, Part 8, titled Common Core Education, Enslaving Your Child, and is being released on Thursday, September 5, 2013. My interview with Clint was recorded on Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013, and Clint is back for the 8th time. He is a protege of Walter Burian, and this is his 8th installment on the CAFR information, or Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and this time we're focusing on what he's discovered through the CAFR on Common Core education. Clint has been on previously to discuss the Corporation Nation lethal injection, as well as his investigation of my own local school district, and that was CAFR School, Rim of the World Unified School District Exposé. As always, Clint's digging through the primary documentation brings a very important vantage point. A former Hollywood sound designer and musician, a crisis of consciousness led him to begin researching, writing, and eventually producing primary research documentaries exposing the very research that Hollywood is designed to hide from the masses. Now unable to work in his industry of study for his Hollywood betrayal, Clint applies his professional sound talent and newly learned video skills, as well as devotion to first-hand primary research and writing, to contribute to the waking up of the population at large. His credo, expose them before they dispose of him. And he can be found at realityblogger.wordpress.com, and I think he's also at clint4p.com as well. And his documentaries include The Corporation Nation, The Corporation Nation 2, Lethal Injection, etc. And these will all be linked on the front page of the website with other important research information and documentation, as well as the financial report for Core Education that goes along with this program. And again, that all of that will be found on the page for this episode on the Gnostic Media Podcast. Donations. This episode was brought to you by Thomas, Lydia, Mirko, Tad, Paul, Joseph, Max, Lewis, Oscar, Stephen, and John. And you can thank each one of them for bringing this information to you and your family and helping to keep you informed of the dangers of what's going on. And aside from your children not being taught the education and being dumbed down through the compulsory education, what you're going to find out today is far more frightening than that. And we do our best to provide just about everything here for free, so your donations and website purchases are greatly appreciated. This show is run on donations and our website sales. This is not corporate media, but independent media in the truest sense of the words. And again, the Gnostic Media Fallacy bookmarks are available up on the website. And next week, I'm happy to announce that we'll be having new Wheat Blows bumper stickers up on the Gnostic Media website. So please grab some of those and help to support us and what we do here. And of course, by donating or ordering one of the books or a DVD, She Who Remembers Archives, a t-shirt, getting a membership to download the older shows, or getting a copy of the first 4 years of the Gnostic Media Podcast, you help to continue our programming, or I should say our unprogramming. And of course, we greatly appreciate your support. The views expressed by the authors and guests of this unprogram are their own and are not necessarily those held by myself, the host, or Gnostic Media. Check out the website at www.gnosticmedia.com. That's G-N-O-S-T-I-C. media.com. You can reach me directly through the contact form on the website or at contact@gnosticmedia.com. Thanks for listening and thank you for your support. And here is my interview with Clint, Part 8, Common Core Education, Enslaving Your Child. Clint Richardson, welcome back to the Gnostic Media Podcast. I guess this is your eighth time back now. And so glad to have you back, and as always, you're always bringing in very important stuff to the table for everyone to learn about.
Well, thank you again for having me, and this is one of those occasions where, boy, this is this is so important, I can't even put I don't know if I'm going to be able to put words to it to make it stick to people how important this particular subject is with education in court. I know you guys have done a lot of research, you and all your associates with John Taylor Gatto, which, you know, I didn't realize John Taylor Gatto was the cousin of the guy who of Taylor, the Taylorism that started all this education, all this workforce capital, human capital management stuff. And this court system is really the foundational springboard that's really incrementally putting this into place around the world. And that, so this is utmost importance when we're talking the subject we're going to talk about. So thank you for doing this.
You're very welcome, and thank you again for coming on. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason why Gatto figured out what was so wrong about the whole thing and tried to expose it. But, you know, what relation to Taylor is that? Where does that go back to? Does that go, like, to Zachary Taylor, or where does that go?
Taylor, I think his name was John Taylor, if I'm not mistaken. And he was the guy who really started the... And it sounds like John Taylor Gatto actually was maybe named after him and broke away from this concept of turning of training workers basically to be, like I said, commodities, human capital management. We'll get into what that actually means here. And it sounds like Mr. Gatto, because he had that inside information, because he was literally named after this gentleman. And was genealogically associated, although I don't have that particular information. I think that's why he is so against it, because he really had a firsthand knowledge of this guy. I'm pretty sure it was John Taylor, but I'm gonna have to verify it for you, and I'll actually send you a video. It's a documentary called Human Capital. Or human management that I suggest everybody watch to really get a backbone of what this education system is going to promote. And that information is in that film.
All right. And I just wanted to mention real quick, somebody has just decided to fire up a chainsaw across the street, lucky me. So hopefully that isn't too distracting. I've closed the window and whatnot to hopefully drown that out. But you know, I wanted to mention, too, that a couple of years ago when I was doing all of the shows on the education system and everything, Princeton University had sent me this book by Martha Nussbaum, Not for Profit, and it's Why Democracy Needs the Humanities. And one of the opening, actually the second quote on the first page of the book is this one by John Dewey that says, "Achievement comes to denote the sort of thing that a well-planned machine can do better than a human being can, and the main effect of education, the achieving of a life of rich significance, drops by the wayside." And that's how this book opens up. And so, you know, we see that, you know, and John Taylor Gatto and Charlotte Isabeat, et cetera, have gone in heavily exposing John Dewey and his whole plan for dumbing down the education system. But, you know, I never did an interview with this woman because right away, you know, in the first, I think I managed to get through about a third of it or maybe a quarter of it, but I could just really start seeing her agenda in it. And one of the things she talks about in here, this is page 20, here we see yet another way in which the United States has traditionally diverged, at least in theory, from the economic growth paradigm. In the U.S., tradition of public education, ideas of equal opportunity and equal access, though never robust in reality, have always been notional goals defended by the most growth-focused politicians, such as the authors of the Spellings Report. After basic skills for many and more advanced skills for some, education for economic growth needs to be a very rudimentary familiarity with history and with economic fact on the part of the people who are going to get past elementary education in the first place and who may turn out to be a relatively small elite. But care must be taken, lest the historical and economic narrative lead to any serious critical thinking about class, race, and gender, about whether foreign investment is really good for the rural poor, about whether democracy can survive when huge inequalities in basic life chances obtain. So critical thinking would not be very important to the education for economic growth, and it has not been in states that have pursued this goal relentlessly, such as the Western Indian state of Gujarat, well known for its combination of technological sophistication with docility and groupthink.
I mean, this is not just a concept anymore, and that's why
and now you see why I didn't interview this one.
Yeah. Well, this is becoming a reality, and I gotta tell, and I gotta say to people, this is no longer a theory. This is no longer a conspiracy theory. Ironically, the words conspiracy theory, two of the most important words in law, because one, a conspiracy or a plan between two or more people cannot be proven unless you take it to court. In other words, a court has to actually prove or give its opinion that there is a conspiracy. So, one. Two, in order to get into court, the other most important word in law is theory or theory of case. You can find that in Black's Law Dictionary if you want to look it up, fourth edition specifically. And that basically is, just like any scientific theory, all the basic evidence that you need to present to the court before you even go, because the court won't even accept the case unless you have a theory.
Sure.
So now, what a brilliant marketing scheme to make the words conspiracy and
theory. Who did that? Who did that?
Who did it?
Yes.
I honestly don't know, but they deserve
it. As far as we know, that was actually done by the RAND Corporation that's down in Santa Monica on the outskirts of Los Angeles, right down at the beach there. And that was, I think, the CEO or director there was the former head of the CIA.
Dude, and of course, government. You know, my specialty, the CAFRs and the investments, of course, government. Who's the main investor in RAND? Naturally, government. So
of course.
We're talking about what Lenin defined. When Lenin defined socialism, he defined socialism as merely state capitalist monopoly. Well, what is capitalism but a way in which a corporation can be open to the public, and the stock or ownership of that can be purchased by a powerful entity? So naturally, corporations who go public, and if you're a corporation, you don't go public, you're not going to get very big. So, you know, how do you create these types of monopolies? Even if you have the perception of competition, you have Walmart and Kmart, you have Coke and Pepsi, you have all of these dualistic companies that seem to be competing, but when you look at the investment aspect of it, again, you have state capitalist monopoly. Who owns Coke and Pepsi? That's the important question, not which one is more flavorful, using aborted fetal cells as their flavor enhancers, right? I mean, this is let's focus on the foundational aspect of what is happening, and that is, again, a monopolistic capitalist, if you will, fascist, again, government ownership of corporations. That's really what we're dealing. And when you watch the president speak, when you watch the House majority speak, and they have two fasci, you know, your bundled sticks with the axe sticking out of it, the fasci that the Roman centurions used to carry, you know, to signify power, a deadly power, and it's hanging right there in your Senate building. It's the symbol of the military. It's the symbol of the state seal of the Senate, two crossed fasci. All right, when you have that, and it's so obvious and it's so in the open, and again, all you're worried about is which product tastes better or which you know, which club to join. God, people, everything is owned by government. This is fascism. We are living in it, and it's what we're going to be talking about today is going to be this, and has been, the incremental takeover of the education system by a private corporation in India. So what was just the theory, if you will, it has now become literally a reality in the most horrific way, and it's all being controlled. Well, I mean, control is a wrong word. It's all owned. Now, that's not even the right word. It's all being implemented from a company that is based in India that is buying up other corporations and contracting with government. So that's another aspect of this, is that government is not there to protect the people from a socialist education system that's going to train work.
Sure, they're facilitating it.
Right, it's going to train a workforce. No, they are facilitating it. The contract has to come from government. In order for CORE, Common Core, C-Scope, all these different words that mean the same thing, a company in India and all over the world at this point, UK, everywhere, it has to have a contract with government, with the education system of government. In other words, the school district, which, as we know, as you know well now, is a corporation of government. And so government is not there to, protect anything other than its interests. What are its interests? To get a population that is work ready, to become the legal status of employed, you know, unemployed, employed. These are terms to denote that people are in the system and paying.
Let me just emphasize to people here that it's key for them to understand that they don't want you to figure out how to create your own business or to be self-sustaining and to go towards your own goals, dreams, and desires and artistic talents. They want you to focus on screwing widgets onto Wonkits or into being the next customer service rep or into barely being able to run the cash register at Walmart or Target. You know, Target. And so this is the sort of goal that they're going for, this totally dumbed down person. They're not looking to teach anybody critical thinking and self-direction in life.
Yeah, and we have the proof now. When I saw this, and bear with me now, because we're going to be reading some things here too, and I know that's probably not the preferable way of doing an interview, but it's better, I think, to get it from the source, because what I found is I was talking to a girl in Texas who's been fighting this for some time, and I had taken an interest but had never really looked at what Common Core and in Texas it's called C-Scope, what actually that really meant and what that actually was. It sounded to me like it was just a bunch of curriculum things that were happening, and it turns out it's the entire structure of education. Most importantly, it's the takeover of teachers. The children are the sort of the byproduct of taking over the education and staffing of teachers, which means that eventually teachers are going to have to be core ready and not think for themselves either. So your future teachers are coming from the core education system as well. So you're eventually going to have kids raised in core who become core teachers, and there will be no more the people who actually want to teach, and actually teach kids how to critical think, how to learn, not what to learn, are going to be weeded out by this system. Okay, and it says so in this. So this financial report that I found, and again, I was talking to her again. She's telling me about all these horrible things, and I said, I might as well look. Every time I start a research project, first thing I do is look for the annual financial report. In government, it's called the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. In private business, generally, it's the annual financial report, financial statements, whatever. It's generally anywhere from 70 to, take the Federal Reserve, you'll find it's 538 pages or so. You know, depending on what you're looking for and what corporation it is and how much they have to report, they're always very long, very detailed. This one, however, I mean, this one blew my socks off. This one was like, I compare it to like having a hidden camera – and catching the President of the United States monologuing on his evil plans to take over America. I mean, that's how incredible this report is, and you'll have to definitely put a link up on your site
to that report
because it's mind blowing. We're going to read some things from that today, but what's most important to comprehend here for people, anytime you're researching, first thing you should be doing, forget all the secondary sources, forget everything. The first thing you should look for is an annual financial report. That's the common denominator in all corporations, whether they're government, private, public, does not matter. You must look at this. And this is the perfect example to really hit that home. All right. The first page we see when we open this report is a light bulb with a little Indian kid, by the way, down there looking up at it. And it says, innovating to transform the world. Wow. That's a bold statement from a company that specializes in education. And this corporation that's based in India is called CORE, C-O-R-E, which is capitalized. And its subtitle is Education and Technologies Limited. All right. In America, we have CORE Education and Consulting Services, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of CORE India, CORE Education and Technologies. All right. So what's really funny about this is that it's an Indian financial report. Now, one of the aspects of this is globalization. Okay, we're looking for a global workforce, a global economy. And this, again, is proof positive that we are not looking forward to it, that we are already there. I mean, this thing is infiltrated into all the major school systems, Los Angeles, Chicago, Milwaukee, New York, Georgia, Texas, obviously, with Texas C-Scope. So we're talking about something that has incrementally taken over the entire contractual nature of the government school system, and it is becoming literally a privatized system. So I want to read you what the first thing that this report says, and this kind of sums it up here. It says, it's an Indian report in English, and the English is very bad. The grammar is quite insulting, actually, which I find amusing because it's an education company, you know.
So I'm going to read it verbatim. And that's actually dumbing down the education. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we can expect from our future.
Sure. Sure. Because remember, the goal of this whole system and this whole corporation is, quote-unquote, human capital management. Never forget that phrase, human capital management. And we'll discuss what that exactly means. I'm sure most of your audience already understands the basics. But when you define what the word capital is, you know, it becomes a whole new can of worms. See, look, CORE has already got me. Ball of worms. Innovating to transform the world. This is right from the report here. Quote, the world is changing at a much faster pace today than one would have imagined a decade ago. The way innovations of yesteryears, like internet and mobility, transformed the world of today, innovations of today would go on to transform the world tomorrow. In the words of William Wadsworth, the child is father of man. Quite rightly, the shape of future lies in the hands of today's youth. The responsibility to shape young minds and prepare them for a new world rests on education. The world needs to renounce some age-old practices in its education system and adopt a future pedagogy. Now, I'm going to stop there because the word pedagogy, let's just say it's kind of an important word. Its etymology stems from Greek, which is to lead the child. All right, that's the etymology of it. And its specific meaning, when you define it, is the science and art of education. So education is a science and an art, and it's specifically geared toward instructional theory. All right, so that's where we are with CORE. CORE is trying to change the world, the new world order, by creating specific instructional theories. Okay, so it's completely trying to change the entire structure of education. So it goes on to say, CORE has been incubating innovations that are transforming the education system worldwide. Systems worldwide. Okay, here's the important part. From the U.S. to the U.K., from India to the Middle East and Africa. Okay, remember, the United Kingdom is not England. The United Kingdom is Canada, Australia, all of the other little countries that are part of that, which I can't think of off the top of my head. With innovative interventions across teaching, learning, assessment, and governance, the company is rigorously at work, innovating today what will lead to a transformed world tomorrow. So... goes on to say, CORE is India's largest global education company with presence in U.S., U.K., India, Singapore, Middle East, Hong Kong, Africa, and the Caribbean. All right, so this is just in the first few pages of this financial report. We have just learned that there is a private corporation that has literally, you know, its tendrils have literally infiltrated the entire education system of the world. At least the part of the world that has any influence. That's the first world and now the third world that has already been, you know, made into what we would call a workforce education. You know, I think we got off lucky because we were in the experimental phase with our, you know, with our corporatism that they had not created a system like they've created in China where you have these sweatshop factories. So we sort of got off easy, whereas the system has been perfected in China and Mozambique and, you know, all these other countries where the people have been taken off of their land and their rice fields and been put in these factories and made to move 57 seconds out of every minute doing, you know, monotonous tasks. And that is really what this is all about. CORE specifically has two functions: workforce education to manage human capital. Ay, ay, ay. So, again, I mean, I just ask people at least to read the first, you know, 15 or 20 pages of this report just to really get a grasp on what is happening here, how horrific this really is.
You know, the irony is reading through this thing, they have these kids in these educational situations, and then they're actually, it's obvious that they're dumbing the kids down. They're not giving them real tools like the trivium and quadrivium, etc. But then throughout this paper, they actually have little light bulbs in their graphs as if they're actually increasing intelligence somehow rather than getting rid of it. You know, so it's all, you know, the whole thing is all tongue-in-cheek here.
Yeah, incredibly so. Let's focus on what this really is. Okay, when we say the words human capital management, now human management is pretty obvious. You know, human and management, we the people are being managed. But when you add capital to that phrase, human capital management, we got to define capital. Now, I always like to go to the older dictionaries to really get a grasp on what these words are. So I went to Bouvier's to define it, 1856. And it says capital is a political economy or commerce. In political economy, it is that portion of the produce of a country. Okay, so that means that the people are the produce of the country when you're talking about human capital management. Okay, and what those people do with their hands is really the economy. So, and it says, which may be made directly available either to support the human species or to the facilitating of production. All right? So, commerce, the produce of a country that facilitates production. All right? In commerce, I think we probably have a grasp on what commerce really is. As applied to individuals, it is those objects, whether consisting of money or other property, which a merchant, trader, or other person adventures in an understanding, or which he contributes to the common stock of a partnership. Now, really, the stock of the United States is all the people and its property. That's really what the United States is. If we go and we understand what the 14th Amendment citizen is, or the 14th Amendment person, we know that we all have this artificial straw man person that's really what government deals with. It doesn't deal with us as living sentient beings. It considers us
because
capital.
Because it can't act outside that 10-mile radius. So then it creates this fictitious character that then it assumes control of that, and then we play into it. Would you agree with that?
More importantly, it creates the fictitious character before we're even born, really, and then it has us continuously contracting into it through our ignorance. But what it really does is it establishes residence within the United States. United States, when you say the word United States, you're talking about a nation, you're talking about a jurisdiction. So you're leaving your country of origin, which in your case is California, in mine here I'm currently in Utah. This is where the domicile is. But what you're doing is you're taking up residence in the United States. So the United States can be the entire world if it wants to, as long as you have agreed and contracted to be in that jurisdiction, that legal boundary. So that legal boundary can extend really it's a space if they want it to. It just depends how they write the contract and how they define citizenship. So what did they do? Before that, they passed what's called the 13th Amendment. And what does the 13th Amendment say? It never considered this before, but it says involuntary servitude shall be abolished. Except, of course, if you're charged with a crime, then you can be put in prison and you could be made to work. But what it doesn't say is that voluntary servitude and slavery have been abolished. You see, it only says involuntary slavery. And this goes to what we've talked about before with the concept of promoting a voluntary system. Well, again, we live in a voluntary system and we voluntarily reside in the United States instead of our state, where our republics are. One really interesting thing, if you've ever noticed, if you're on Skype or you look at anything, even Wikipedia, you'll see that there's the Republic of Ireland, the Republic of Scotland, the Republic of I can't think of any right now, unfortunately. But when it's a republic, you put the word republic in front of it. The United States is a political jurisdiction. It is not a republic. The states are republics. And in the Constitution, it actually verifies this. It says that the United States will protect the states in their form of government, which is a republic. But the United States in no way, never has been, never will be a republic. It's a federation, technically. And it was a
confederation, and they had to get rid of that idea because that was too empowering.
Yeah.
you know what? Let me just add here that one thing I see is that, you know, they're not going toward a real verifiable working model like we have in Finland, where you give the children all of the tools that they want and then you back away and you don't show up again until they're 16. They're doing quite the opposite, where they're trying to regulate and control every single little minute detail of the child's education, gearing them towards being dumbed down factory workers, incapable of thinking, but great for management.
Yeah, and that goes into something else, which is the fear-based system where I got to read you this too. I mean, I got such a kick out of this. I mean, this really hit it home for me because the mother down in Texas, her son was going to. He brought home a lesson plan, and of course he knew about this because of his mother, and she said, "Look, Mom, look at my homework and look at my assignment for the next week or two." So let me just read this, and it's posted on my blog. You can actually download the full assignment, and this comes straight out of C-Scope, which is Core, or Common Core. It says the 1984 experience, Thought Police versus the Outer Party. Welcome to 1984. To remain in good standing with Big Brother, you must obey the party's rules. There are thought police in every senior English class. Thought police may report offenses for any outer party members they observe committing crimes against the party. Since you do not know who the informers are or informants are, you may choose to violate the rules at will. However, you never know who will be watching. Big Brother reserves the right to select more than one criminal thought or original thought police as the week goes on to monitor the actions of the outer party. You never know who they may be. All the thought police written assignment, all the thought police and the outer party members will complete a written assignment that will be due Friday, April 12th, and inner party members are exempt from the written assignment, as all written assessments, submission one day early is 5 points, and you know, it just goes on. It gives a bunch of rules. If you break a rule, you have to write 300 words more. If you figure out certain things, you get rewards, and this basically, I mean, the Orwellian nature of this should be fairly obvious, but the fact that they're pitting students against each other, they're saying, okay, you're a student, you're Big Brother.
It's to get them into a state of fear amongst their peers about this whole tattletale thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to point out that George Orwell or Eric Blair was Aldous Huxley's student, and Aldous Huxley and Julian Huxley were really the engineers, you know, the earlier engineers behind all of this dumbing down. Aldous Huxley is, I've shown and getting ready to show more on, more information on, I should say, was one of the key people behind MKUltra that we can tell. And in fact, I do have admissions from his own books that he was at Macy mind control conferences, etc. And that's from the Josiah Macy Foundation.
Well, yeah,
CIA funded.
Your whole, this whole thing you've been uncovering is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's, and obviously this goes along very well with it. Now, remember again that this is coming from India. There's no way that this is going to get its tendrils into this society without government intervention, without government help. So we're talking about, you know, Huxley, we've talked about this before, Jan. Huxley was simply a bloodline cousin of the Queen's Kings of England, bloodline cousin of the president. So this is the same bunch of people that have been doing this for centuries, eons, if you will. I mean, it's so. If the Orwellian nature is not apparent to you, if you don't understand that this homework assignment is literally pitting students against you, take that over to the workforce now, and you're already going to be, if you do assignments like this in school, you're already going to be used to people on your assembly line, maybe. Because remember, we're talking about workforce.
Right, getting ready to tattletale on you, looking over your shoulder. Right. And hey, we have to conform and go along. You can break the rules all you want, but you know, are you gonna get along with the groupthink and the other factory workers if you think for yourself and do these sorts of things?
If you think about it, that's the model of all of these books, these Brave New World type of books, where you have the children and the adults tattling on each other. So that everybody is always in line, even if there is, you know, you get it to the point where there is nobody even tattling anymore, and people are still afraid that there's a tattletale, an inner party member just around the corner everywhere. So, you know, cameras in the television screens from 1984, right?
Sure. You know, the goal is, you know, you really have to get, you know, it's like that. You know, that banana experiment or whatever, you know, one monkey reaches up for the banana and they spray all the monkeys with a hose, and then pretty soon all the monkeys just come in and clobber any monkey that tries to reach for the banana, right? And so you what you're effectively doing is getting the population to police themselves. And, you know, and you can see this in a sort of a microcosmic situation, like when, you know, coming up from San Diego, from the border of Mexico up into the Inland Empire here, right at Temecula, there is one of these illegal federal checkpoints, right, where they search everybody looking for Mexican nationals, supposedly, even though, you know, 50% of the population of Southern California has dark skin and has always been that way since they were here for tens of thousands of years before us. You know, but you'll when you drive through these checkpoints, you see that most of the officers at them are actually Latino officers. You know, so they get them to police their own, and that's the same idea here, is to get the students in a conditioned state to start policing themselves amongst each other for the factories, et cetera.
And that's exactly what we do, if you think about it. I mean, we've grown up, you and I, we have grown up in this system. What CORE is doing, in my opinion, is perfecting that system. It's again, through homework assignments like this. Now, let me read you some other things here just to get us in the understanding of what this thing is. First of all, it has strategic alliances and is playing very well together with, it says, with leading global players, including the University of Oxford in the UK, Center for Higher Learning, Texas Instruments, Dell Computers. That's another aspect of this, is that what it's doing is it's using public partnerships, which if you're familiar with Agenda 21, this is the implementation of Agenda 21 and United Nations best practices and all that stuff, model education, model corporations and everything. So what it's doing is it's utilizing the function of public-private partnerships through contract. That's how CORE is getting in. It's then partnering with computer companies like Texas Instruments and Dell, Intel, Microsoft.
Let's not forget Bill Gates. He's a big pusher of this whole CORE system.
Well,
which goes back to this book that I mentioned earlier, Not for Sale by Nussbaum. Go ahead.
Perhaps people down in Texas should be asking about why Ron Paul is also pushing this on people. All right? So, you know, I can't, how many
and,
times?
And you and I did a lot to expose Ron Paul. I mean, that was years ago, man.
Here's another one for you. Okay, Ron Paul's personally advocating a company in India to come over and take over your children's welfare. So that should be another
red
spike,
flag, you know, yeah. Spike in the coffin.
Honestly, spike
through the vampire's heart. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, exactly. So, again, Dell Computers was named CORE Education Services was named Dell Computers Partner of the Year. Very important aspect of this is to get kids into computer learning. I mean, in Utah here, we now have high school at home. All you need is a computer. Okay, we have a case where they're trying to get kids into the computer realm, this artificial social media, and, you know, they specialize in IT and computer training and all this. They also, which we'll get into later, they specialize in special education. There's several people who are sort of studying this and figuring out that the reason that the organization of autistic children in the millions will make the perfect workforce. Okay, and so what?
And let's just go before you go beyond that. Let's talk about Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, folks. Brave. He's saying, you know, we have to be brave and bring in the new world order. So, I mean, you know, you just have to look at the cover of the book and the title to get what's going on here. But he is selling, you know, the alphas are the rulers, and you have the betas and the deltas and the gammas, et cetera. And each one is being dumbed down, and they talk about in there about, you know, treating each one with different things so that they produce, you know, each intellect, and somehow the one guy gets something wrong in his mixture, and, you know, he gets too intelligent or whatever. But, you know, when you get this stuff, and, you know, as I had Andrew Wakefield on my show a few years ago, for instance, a couple years ago, who's the author of, I've forgotten. Anyway, he was the doctor who was who lost his job and who lost his doctor's license for exposing a connection between the the MMR vaccine and autism, and the partner, his partner has subsequently gotten his license back, but Wakefield, and if you get in and actually study all of his work, it's actually very solid, and you can see, if you actually study his stuff and not believe the media, that he was set up, and it was a big smear campaign. So go ahead from there.
And it's got to feel awful for him, because his name is being used almost as a household word now to prove vaccines don't cause autism.
And anybody who believes this mainstream media lie about him, just go out and buy his book and look at the evidence and look what this guy, John Deerfield or whatever, I forget his name, this guy who was hired by Fox Media essentially to slander him and to go create this entire false story because they didn't want any of this stuff getting out. So they used him as a target, but you have to think past their stupid ad hominem attacks. Why are they name-calling at him? Instead of buying into people's stupid name-calling, the name-calling and these sorts of attacks need to be your trigger to go look at the evidence every single time.
There's a doctor named Rima LeBeau, and she actually just asked me to speak at, she's having on September 11th, just to plug her because I'll be speaking. I'm the most unqualified, uninstitutionalized person that's going to be speaking, but it's basically on this subject of using autistic children for future workforce augmentation, training them through computers. Because, you know, you can train an autistic child to be repetitive. When you're autistic, you focus on something, and you don't necessarily ask question why you're doing something.
So get this. Check this out. So, a couple of years ago, I think, Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope, he and I had done a show, I believe it was the one with James Corbett on The Noble Lie, which would have been What You've Been Missing, Episode 1, which people can find up on the Gnostic Media website under videos. But in this video, we were showing how video games were being used as reward systems, right? And to work for these imaginary just bit rewards. And, and today now we have Bitcoin, ironically. But working towards these non-existent rewards in this make-believe world, so you could actually use these video games and these fake rewards, etc., to condition everybody to go, and do this repetitive stuff and not even be aware that they're even doing it, etc. They think that they're, playing a fun video game and whatnot.
Well, and I went to the grocery store, I spent about $80, and the girl hands me the receipt, and she says, "Oh, congratulations, you saved 15 cents a gallon on gas." What? Wait, I just bought groceries. What? So I'm looking, and they're giving me a reward if I go to their gas. It was Harmon's, was the store. I don't know if you guys have that out there, but it's a little higher-end store that sells a lot of organic stuff. That's why I go there. But what do you mean? I saved money on gas. I did not. I didn't buy any gas. You can't tell me I saved money. You can't tell me I just bought groceries and saved money. I didn't save any money. What are you talking about? Just because I have a membership card, I can give it to you and you can give me a discount? So, I mean, all of this is based on... I mean, go to a movie and look at the advertisement. I always go early to watch the advertisements because I find them absolutely fascinating. Most people don't want to do that, but I'm like, oh, look at that. There's the reward system. If you text the letter, slave to this text number, you'll get a reward. And I'm like, oh my gosh. What that's doing actually is, if you think about the system that's set up, it's saying, okay, this person, this human capital that we're trying to manage has a cell phone that's connected to the World Wide Web. We know by GPS location that he is or she is at this movie theater. And we also know through our Google Analytics that this person is watching an advertisement that has been placed there specifically to see if we can get that person to type slave to this and get a reward, and now we're going to sell something else when he gets on the internet the next time, and we're going to, I mean, the whole, I mean, it's an incredible system they've set up that it's amazing. I watch people get out their phones and, you know, type this in, and I'm frightened for the future, because that's what they're turning children into. And again, they're giving these computers to pre-kindergarten classes.
Now, let me bring something up to you, because, you know, and in the Linux world, things are a little bit different, because just about everything is free. Software is free. You don't log into anything when you go down, you know, go and download software. You're not giving your name to anybody. All of the software is there created by the community. Now, recently, there's a company out of the UK called Raspberry Pi, and they've managed to get computers about yay big that you can plug a monitor into and a mouse and keyboard down to about $35 loaded with lots of free software. And their goal is to teach kids, Linux programming and all of these things so that they can develop their own tools and stuff like that, where it's actually contributing to, you know, the free Linux society as opposed to this corporate Bill Gates one. What do you think about that difference?
Well, look, my personal opinion on this is that there is no good when it comes to social media, okay? The reason I say that, I was actually going to write another article on this. I'm going to call it the suggestion box, right? What is the suggestion box? Well, when you get online and you start rallying against things, and you talk to your friends, and you feel good about yourself because you've just, you know, spilled all of your emotions out. Corporations started putting suggestion boxes out back in the early 1900s so that their employees would feel as if they had a say in their servitude to this corporation. And no matter what the corporation would do, you know, they'd ask the employees.
So where you're going is basically saying Linux is sort of like the suggestion box.
I'm saying that I don't care what system you're using.
Well,
and
see,
how
I mean, you know, what they're doing, though, they're not putting out a social media. They're giving children computers that are $35 and saying, you know, you can learn how to develop your own software, your own all this kind of stuff, your own programming, etc.
But the point of this, and we'll get into this hopefully a little more, the point of CORE is to get kids into computers. It doesn't matter what the system is. I mean, I can't look.
Gotcha.
Whatever Linux is or whatever it was will undoubtedly become something else. It will be taken over just like everything else is taken over. The whole point is to get people into the social construct, into the digital realm, where their actions mean absolutely nothing. Okay, this is the same model as the Matrix.
And then you can promote Julian Huxley's transhumanism and have everybody with the computer mounted to the side of their head or whatever, like that professor.
Right. So I don't mean to dismiss Linux as anything good or bad. All I'm saying is that no matter what, I mean, I'm becoming an erudite or whatever, someone who doesn't like technology because I can see what it's doing. I mean, if you look at this financial report, sure, too, I mean, I got to say, this has to do with transhumanism. This has to do with inducting kids into computers. I mean, eventually you're going to have children saying, look, I don't want to have to type. I'm autistic. I don't like typing. Just put a screen right here and let me just do this, you know.
Well, and of course, Dragon Software is already, you know, so developed to a point where pretty much you can just talk to the computer, you know.
Exactly.
I still, you know.
Exactly. Now, if you look through this report, I believe it's on page 17, there is a picture in there that will disturb you, because this is an education company. It will disturb you because it's a picture of a woman, a young woman, looking
what
through.
What page was that again?
I believe it was page 17.
Yes,
looking through a screen like you would see in a science fiction
movie. With one of those touch gloves on, right, and manipulating.
Right, but what's plugged into her head?
Ah, yes, okay.
Okay, that's transhumanism
right
there for you. So the idea is to get children into the computer realm. So, I mean, in the, And you create this huge bureaucracy of coding and systems and IT. That's what this company specializes, is in IT and data collection, testing.
So now what we need to do is check Raspberry Pi's background and see if there's any relation to Core.
I can almost guarantee it. Now, there are other companies out there that are doing the same thing, but Core seems to be the one. It's posting 50 and 100% growth rates each year. Okay, if you consider that, you know, a typical corporation might grow 3, even 7%, which means it'll double, you know, in a decade. But this is a company that's growing by leaps and bounds every year. It's getting contracts, again, through all of the major public education systems. This is huge. And again, we're talking about, well, let me just read. All right, it says, ready to create a promising future. This is, again, from the financial statement. The global agenda of the 21st century is set around economy and trade, with manufacturing shifting from the West to the East. Employment landscape would immensely change at both ends. Again, employment being a legal status. It doesn't mean they want people to be well off and be, you know, working or doing something. It means you're connected to this system of government-owned corporations, fascism. All right? It means you're paying taxes. That's what employment is. Just like the word woman is actually a legal status. There's no such thing as a woman. It's a legal status that you have taken to accept false equal rights. Equal rights being the right to be a slave, basically, be punished, put in pain, taxed.
Sure, yeah. And that was their whole thing, is they had to sell women's liberation so that they could tax the other half of the population that wasn't taxable before then.
Sure, because, you know, when the slaves became quote-unquote freemen, we couldn't have that. We had to get them, first we had to set them free. Then we had to get them back into the system. And that's what equal and civil rights are. It's a way to, we already have all the white folk, they're all citizens, and we have the women. What we don't have are the free men that are no longer indentured. Not because they weren't citizens, they weren't considered part of the United States. So we have to create a status that makes all men equal. This is the great fallacy of the United States, that all men are created equal. No, all men are given a status that make them equal. And I refer you to Chapter 42 of U.S. Code, or Title 42, Section 1981, where it states that all men are equal. And that means, in other words, all all white men are pulled down in status to slavery, equal with black men. And they are now have the right to have something forced upon them. Those things that are forced upon them, right in the U.S. Code, it's my favorite U.S. Code, it should be on T-shirts, it says you have the right to be put in pain, to be punished, to be taxed, to be extorted from, and to be put in prison. Okay, the word exaction is the same as the word extortion. That is in U.S. code. All men are equal, and all men have the right to be put in pain, punished, taxed, and extorted from. Okay, that alone should make everybody leave the United States and no longer be a resident, no longer be a citizen. But I can't force people to realize that their government is their enemy. I can't force people to become nationals and become be part of their republics again in their states. I can't do that. That has to be something that is realized by people. And by reading that code alone, you should understand that accepting the citizenship means accepting equal rights, which is civil rights, which is slavery. Okay, I mean that alone, that one little code says everything. So anyway, it says in order to sustain their economic growth, developed as well as developing economies need to intensify their human capital formation. Not surprising, then, nations across the world are increasingly investing in education for continued development of their human capital, quantitatively as well as qualitatively. What did you hear what that says? your governments are investing in the privatization of what's called education. Education is a corporation. It is a it's capitalized, meaning that it's a specific form of education.
Sure, people need to be aware that whenever they see these capital words in this document, that they're actually talking about a specific thing, not lowercase in general.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And a noun.
And I mean, if you replace the words human capital with slaves, basically, voluntary slaves, if you will, then you understand what this is saying, that governments are investing in the corporatization of the education system, which is supposed to be a public or a government function, although that's I'm wrong there, I know, but you get the point. They're allowing the privatization through public-private partnerships to come in and completely alter the whole concept of what education is, turning it into what's called workforce education. All right, I'm just going to read that again. They need developed, that means us in the United States and England and everywhere else, developed and developing economies. Okay, economy is another word. That, in other words, the economy, government is the economy, because remember, government is the shareholder of all these corporations. It's the owner, for the most part. So it's the one that's electing board of directors, who is then electing the CEOs. And you know, like I said, if Bill Gates got out of line, he would no longer be the CEO of Microsoft. As long as he's doing what government wants him to do, he'll remain the CEO.
Just like Chevrolet or GMC Corporation.
Sure, just like Warren Buffett and his government-owned corporation. It's just how it is. Intensify their human capital formation. Intensify their human capital formation. In other words, put them through a corporately derived workforce education in order to develop their work skills for the economy. I mean, that's what education is now. Not surprising, then, nations across the world are increasingly investing. Wait a minute. You can't invest in government. You can only invest in private corporation. All right? You understand that this is the worst possible outcome I can possibly think of in any Orwellian or dystopian novel.
Sure, and I love this comment here about you know, the lower strata of society. That's just grand on what page is this here, 20.
Read it, man, read it.
All right, so sharing with care, corporate social responsibility initiatives. Core's business spectrum of education itself leaves a bearing impact on society and community, with interventions in government-run or aided schools that benefit students from lower strata of society.
That's me.
That's all of us, folks. They're looking right at us, you know. But I'm not going to teach my son to be an employee of one of your corporations. He's going to be taught to think for himself, like all of the other parents out there who are listening to this right now, and how they're going to teach their kids to strive for their own dreams and not work for some corporate whatever.
Yeah, and there again, you know, I will probably be homeless at some point in my life, because the more I learn about this system and what employment is, and I mean, keep in mind, I'm unemployed. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm working. I'm actually creating a sense of, you know, I can't say the word income because I'm not a taxpayer. So I'm creating a sense of sustenance for myself. But you see, I'm still unemployed. And that doesn't really make sense, because I'm working, but I'm unemployed. Well, it makes sense if you understand that employed and unemployed are legal statuses. All right? So to be unemployed simply means you're not contributing, and that's what tax is. You're not contributing to government. You're not contributing to that continuity of the economy. You wake up, you realize that you're already, your job, whatever it is that you're paying taxes, you are human capital already. That's the sad part about this. So all this is doing is trying to focus that, again, an international corporation getting in with contracts and focusing education in order to improve the economy, which really means improve employability of the people. And you do that by starting at pre-kindergarten, giving a kid a computer, no matter what the language is, no matter what the, you know, who the maker of that computer is, and you get them into the social digital realm. I mean, it's literally plugging into the Matrix is the best analogy I can use. I just wrote this down and wanted to read it because this gives you a sense of what I was talking about, the suggestion box, right? You send an email to Congress. You feel better. You've done something in the digital realm that doesn't actually exist. It's not something you can touch, taste, or feel. It's a digital representation of real life, but it has no power. It has no authority. It has no legal anything. It's pointless, in other words. Okay? This is done to master the psyche. So here's another perfect example. Voting is probably one of the best examples because we go out and we vote for president. We've covered this before, you know, who the electors are and that the people are designated as legal voters, but the actual people who elect the president are the electors, right? So we give our vote, which basically means that the political parties that we're all divided up into then elect the electors or appoint the electors, and then the electors vote for president. All right, so the whole voting thing is ridiculous, but it gives us the sense that we are in a participatory government, even though we're not. Look around, folks. Obviously, we are not in a participatory government. Doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter. So this is just wrote this down as a note. You vote, giving you a sense of false participation and even satisfaction, so that no matter what government actually does to harm you, you still feel that you had a say. And that causes what my pet peeve is, that causes inaction. It creates hope because we still have a voting, you know, we still have a democracy, and it allows, it creates a sense of almost well-being in people. That even though they never get what they ask for,
you know, you would be surprised at how many times I've been attacked for, you know, for being a non-statist and suggesting that people not go out and vote. And they'll be like, well, how are you going to affect change? Well, you know, I'm actually doing it directly by informing people and doing my research and everything rather than going and voting for some criminal to do this stuff who is going to do absolutely nothing for us.
Well, like I said, this is the pinnacle. What we're talking about right now with this core corporation, a corporation in India, I want to stress that, what we're seeing is the pinnacle of Huxley's dream, of these think tanks' dream, and that is workforce education, replacing liberal arts slowly over time with, you know, incrementally, very important, with workforce education, employment education, I should say, is what they actually refer to it as. So, I mean, I don't know how to get people to wake up, not only in from this social media that we are participating in right now, and to realize that anything they do inside the computer, inside the internet, inside that realm is literally plugging yourself into and participating in the Matrix. Best example.
So how do we get the information out to people without using
this?
I mean, the tool is obviously a double-edged sword because we can use it against them as much as they can against us.
Only if we realize the double edge.
And we have to take action and, you know, stand up and do it. But yeah. I mean, well, you know, see, because I came out of the IT industry. I was a network administrator, network manager, IT manager for a company for a while, and I see this whole thing. And back last January, I wrote an article about Windows 8 and all of its new tiptoe totalitarianism stuff, you know, how they want you to have a Hotmail or MSN email account to create your Windows account. And then basically what they want to do is create it like the old Citrix servers, where you have where Microsoft is now going to act as your central server, and then you can go to your friend's house, your school, your work, whatever, and you'll have one password to log in, and it's going to download your whole user interface directly from Microsoft, so that then they and the government know exactly everything that's on your computer, and we can thank Mac for starting this shit, folks. You know, so Mac is the one with their app stores, and you know, and they're calling software legacy software if it's not coming out of their app store, where they get a 25% cut of and all of this stuff.
So basically, you know, what I'm really trying to say here is that as long as, I mean, we're literally being trained. All of us. I mean, I took computer training in school. Sure. It was on Commodore 64. I was a programmer, and I was so proud of myself. We're being trained to enter into a computerized realm, an artificial realm, where we're literally being convinced that a biological implant will help us to perform better in an artificial construct, a digital world. What that is doing is it's focusing all of our attention into that digital world. As long as we're in that digital world, we are not operating in the real world. That's the only thing you need to know, and that's why CORE is so interested in IT and starting at pre-K. Obama, I mean, let me just give you an example here, which is in my article here. Obama, this is the headline on their news, okay? Quote, Obama highlights Georgia pre-K powered by CORE. Well, President Obama made a trip to Georgia highlighting the state's pre-K, I mean, what is that, 4 or 5 year old, program as a model for creating statewide universal pre-K for children. CORE provides the software backbone called Pre-K Matters, that's the program name, Pre-K Matters, that enables administrators to manage and assess pre-K providers. So they're managing and assessing the teachers as well as the children. They're through their IT and their data collection system, they're placing all of the children's scores and test results and development into a system which tells them that these children are probably going to be better at manual labor. These children are autistic or will be autistic and therefore should be geared towards the general or the special education system. These children are a little smarter. We can convince them that they're alphas while they're betas. These children will be laborers. These children will be this. That's what this is all about. It's data collection. And again, you're giving computers, you know, it kills me every time I see an infant with a phone. It kills me that mothers are allowing their children to interface with computers at such an early age, and that, you know, they're traveling down the highway and never see the landscape. All they see are pictures of the landscape. So it says, according to the Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning, more than 83,000 children are currently enrolled in the program. This is Georgia, which is funded through a combination of federal and state dollars and revenue from Georgia's lottery. Okay, this statement means literally that your taxpayer dollars, your federal and state dollars. So in Georgia, you and California are paying through federal taxpayer money for, as Obama said, to create a universal statewide pre-K CORE system for children using Pre-K Matters, which is CORE's software. They're literally giving computers to children to take home with them. And who's buying the computers? You are. Through a private partnership with Dell Computers, Texas Instruments, Intel is one of their partnerships, which means all the chips in all these computers, not all of them, but most of them. So this is a takeover, not of just education, but it's a takeover. In my opinion, it's to get children away from nature. It's to get children away from true carnal knowledge of things and to put them into a computerized world where nothing they do will be able to cause or affect a change in government, which is in the real world, in things that control them. They're literally being trained for human capital management. They are capital, which again, it's just chattel, it's slavery. It's actually, if you get down to it, you could call it human trafficking.
All right, let me interject right here, because Timothy Leary from the Conversation on LSD states, well, I want to point out, though, that the picture, who we all know that here and now kids study pictures more than they do long accounts. The particular picture, this article in the Time magazine attacking our research, and of course they were all working together because Henry Luce owned Time Life and he was the one that promoted all of the LSD, so it's all tongue-in-cheek here. Yeah. But attacking had our research had a scientific instrument called the experiential typewriter with these dials. It was actually filled with socks, but that's all right. It had an incredibly beautiful woman sitting taking a test and had standing behind her Alan Watts, a beautiful female guru named Gitri Devi, and myself. Now, the signal content of the picture like that was much more important than the little words that were being written by some clerk at Time magazine in the medical department. And then he laughs and he says, how about Marshall McLuhan? Or how about McLuhan? Marshall McLuhan, obviously the guy who wrote his PhD thesis on the classical trivium, which is mind control.
Well, that's what this is. I mean, this is, as you taught me, you know, government is the control of the mind. That's its etymology. So, I mean, really, what this boils down to is the streamlining and privatization of education, which really is government. I mean,
sure. I mean, what we have to do is figure out how to walk a fine line here. This is what it comes down to. How do we stay out of their neo-feudalism and stay out of their mind control and be able to communicate with each other?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize, again, that you are, I mean, we all are human capital. When a government, you know, if you look at the back of any comprehensive annual financial report for any municipality, any district, when it talks about the human equation, when it talks about the human factor, it's referring to us as literally as commodities. So,
sure. How do we take ourselves out of that? You know, we talked about this, I think, in your last show or two before. So is there a way that we can take legal control back of ourselves and get out of that?
Well,
in the real world.
I'm in the process myself, and I'm taking my time because I really want to learn all there is to learn before I take the step. That's just how I kind of work. So, I mean, technically, I'm still in the system and still a
challenge.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I invite people to check out a form called SS, it's Social Security Form 521, if I'm not mistaken. And what that is most things are based on the Social Security. Once you get that number, and that number is basically chained to you, to your artificial construct, and you're the surety of that person, that artificial person. So now you have this number, and every contract that you've ever signed with government, generally they ask you, are you a United States citizen, and what your Social Security number is. So if you were to actually get rid of that Social Security number, or more to the point, break the chain of that Social Security number to your physical self, your real self out here in the real world, then technically any contract you've ever signed is now null and void, because that was a signature of an artificial person, a number, all right? So that form is actually the SSA 5-521, I believe it is the first step that I'm going to personally take, because that's the first thing I need to get rid of to become a free man, if you will. and that is to sever my tie with Social Security.
So you want to come and do a show as soon as you do that so we can keep the audience all filled in on what's going
down? And I've also met other people who did this a decade ago who have not had any problem. They're able to get all of the things they need because you're not, to get rid of your United States citizenship does not make you any less of a
human being.
You know, the states of the United States who are in compact with each other.
So you're just getting rid of the United States bit, and you're keeping your state, essentially, is that?
Well, you're basically becoming an American instead of a United States citizen.
Gotcha. Okay.
Does that make sense? So right. United States is a corporation. Might as well be a citizen of Walmart. It's the same thing.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with being an American or a national or a natural man.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you know, when I used to travel, I always said that I was Californian. I never said I was American, you know, and that always took people back, you know.
Well, again, you notice that under no circumstances is the Republic of the United States ever the name of of the United States. It's because it's a corporation. It's not a district. It's not a country. So it can't be a republic. Only states which are countries can be republics. So, to show this even further, let's see what CORE has to say on its annual financial report. It shows, again, that it's not considering children or education as an important construct to the future of humanity. It's showing it as a corporate venture by private corporations, the privatization. So what does it say on page 35? It gives a little background. It says, for year 2009, the global spending on education was in U.S. dollars $3.93 trillion, with the U.S. contributing just over a third of that, $33 trillion. Okay, so the United States is spending it in 2013. It's going to be a lot more because as this thing gets privatized, education, more and more money is going to be spent on it. So the budget for it is going to be exasperated to the point of unimaginable, you know, wealth. So globally, K-12 continues to be the largest segment, forming close to half the total education spend, followed by the higher education that is just over a third of the total market. Okay, higher education. What is that? That's college. This is not just K-12. This is not just pre-K. This is college. This is the university system as
well. Sure, they want to make sure that they have control over every aspect of the education system all the way up.
Right, right. Source
is just it's just going to be a big corporate resources mill.
A good example of that is already in California, the total loans that are still outstanding in California alone are over $1 trillion. That's for college loans. I mean, can you imagine that? That's just incredible. The source listed here is, again, the symbiotic relationship here between government and the private, the public-private partnership. The source is unleashing the potential of education technology, and that's from the Executive Office of the President, Council of Economic Advisors. So they're doing this in government. They're promoting that in government straight from the executive branch, right? So it says globally 570 million children are enrolled across various schools. As per the GSV Education Sector Factbook 2012, the market size for 2012 is estimated to be $4.45 trillion. Okay, what was it before? It was $3.9 trillion. Now it's up to $4.45 trillion. So it's already been increased by over $500 billion in 3 years to 2012. And they're calling it the market. The market size. Wait a minute. What does that mean? That means that your education system is being traded on the stock market. Okay, that's the market share. That's the market size. Who's the investor? Of course, it's going to be government. I actually found the shareholder list, which is another huge find for this. For CORE. let me see if I can find that real quick, because it's quite incredible. It says, non-institutional bodies, or corporate bodies, so bodies corporate, 30,724,897 shares of Core Education and Consulting Services. So that's 841 different non-institutional bodies corporate, which means corporations, okay? So not individual people. Foreign institutional investors, which actually means the United States, because we're looking at an Indian company, a total of 49 institutional investors. That includes the United States, for total shares of 12,638,000. It also lists public shareholders as central government and state governments, a total of three, with 6.9 million shares, which is the total of shares is for that is 6.3%. So right there we know that central governments and state governments are investing taxpayer money into the corporate stock of CORE, an Indian corporation. Bodies corporate, which actually makes up about 40% of the total shares, it says there's a total of two corporations that have those shares, 45 million worth of shares, and those corporations are CORE Infra Power Limited and Wisdom Global Enterprises. So 40% of your education system is owned by two corporations, and when we look for words like infra power and we look at the other corporations involved with this, we find that CORE, the concept of CORE, because it's IT and because it's actually focusing on the management of things as opposed to the, you know, the education per se. Education is one of its aspects, but the IT, the staffing of teachers, and the control of information is its main goal. So that's where we're sitting here. And again, there's really no the shareholders aren't the people, I guess is the point. And the fact that it actually has stakeholders, when you say that your education system now has stakeholders, that means that it's a for-profit business. Anytime you have a corporation, remember, what's the goal of the corporation? It's not for the children. It's to make profit for the stakeholders. That is the stated goal of any corporation. It's a requirement, actually, by law. So that's what we're dealing with CORE. Here's another aspect of it that's, again, it's really frightening. It says, CORE continued its strong growth momentum in spite of global slowdown. During the financial year, the company's revenue, and this is 2012 financial year, the company's revenue grew by an impressive 50.1% to $16 billion. During the year, CORE associated with Texas Instruments to bring a new way of teaching and learning maths and science to middle and secondary schools in India. The joint effort combines Texas Instruments' best-in-class education technology, which is, again, all computer-based, with CORE's world-class content. Teacher education, again, we talked about that earlier, and support to form one integrated solution called STEM Power. Now, this is an important word because when you're researching your local systems, like for instance, Texas down there, they couldn't figure out how this was connected to CORE until we found this program or this solution, as they call it, called STEM, STEM, and that's how we connected CORE to Common CORE and to C-Scope down in Texas. So
they break it up into multiple corporations and factions, et cetera, to kind of hide, right out in your face.
Right, and they have, you know, headquarters in America. It's don't get me wrong, but it says so in the report. But the actual main company is based in India. It's where its headquarters. That's where it was created. And ever since it was created, it's been buying up all these different corporations that have heavy influence within the education system. So again, we're talking about probably the the worst part about this, besides the fact that it's incremental, that it's taking it over slowly, and lately we see 50% growth rates and 100% growth rates within the fiscal year. And again, we're talking about education, okay? Not a business, but it is a business now. So I guess the worst part about this is the concept of the Agenda 21, the coming from the United Nations with best practices and model systems. We're talking about public-private partnerships, and that's really that means that anyone from Monsanto to J.P. Morgan Chase to Raytheon to whoever can be in charge of your education system. CORE is equally bad as all those companies I just mentioned, and they're also in this public-private partnership. You have Dell Computers, and you have Texas Instruments, you have Intel, it's Microsoft, it's spreading like mad. And, please, folks, read this financial report for yourselves, because don't take my word for it. It's right there. Again, you're catching the evil corporation monologuing right to you, telling you not only that it's taking over your education system, but it actually says in here that there has been a grand plan all along to move manufacturing from the West to the East. It tells you that, in so many words, that there was always a plan to take your American way of life, your manufacturing jobs away from you, and take them over to the Middle East. Meanwhile, you're going to be educated as worker bees and consumers.
Middle East and East Asia.
Right. I've got to say about this, again, going back to the simulated reality that we all seem to be stuck on. You have the information now, and you realize, you must realize that this is literally, in three generations, I would predict, there's not going to be any more of what we're doing right now. There's not going to be any self-thought. There's going to be an autistic army of workers, the epsilons, that are being trained through computerized technology, and getting implants and getting your transhumanism, all of that. You have a dumbed-down society already. If government could just get together with its stock-owned companies called pharmaceuticals who make these vaccines and perfect the way in which which autism is delivered to children, then you'll have the perfect slave society that was foretold in some of Huxley's work and elsewhere.
That he was actually guiding and planning, not just foretold.
Exactly. and my message to people is, this is it. This is your children we're talking about. And if you don't have children, this is your future police. This is your future judges. These are your future people who are going to be in charge of perhaps taking care of you in a hospital, who are going to be trained that your euthanization is a good thing for population control. There's another website that I'll send you a link to. Actually, it's on my blog, my latest blog, that it's actually a site for C-Scope, where they're teaching United Nations publications on population control and birth control to the children in school. And that's all coming from CORE. So you everybody complains about all these things they're teaching in school, and they're all coming from this central body. Now that you know it exists, people, and I'm looking through you right now, Jan, and just talking to the people that are listening to this. Now that you know this exists, you're talking about the end of humanity as we know it. You're talking about the creation literally through your children and your future ancestors, of a slave society. And the most important aspect of that is to grab them while they're in pre-K, take them out of their human parents' hands, put them on a computer, and train them to literally love their servitude, to quote from Huxley.
Sure. Let me just add to that Huxley's whole point of using drugs for transcendence was that the drugs would put them in a dream state where they didn't mind their slavery, where they actually enjoyed it and loved it.
Well, and And there you go. I mean, part of this, I'm sure, will be the teaching of acceptance of drugs.
Sure. And it's becoming more and more so right now in the media and everything with MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. They're definitely pushing this whole agenda. You know, and when you go back, when you think of the ancient Eleusinian mysteries in ancient Greece, you know, this was a state-sanctioned psychedelic experience that they used to, you know, enrapture the whole society and then get them to follow along. And if you ever told anybody the secret of the Eleusinian mysteries, you were punishable by death, which is what the story is of Socrates, if that's to be believed. So, I mean, they are certainly promoting that from this other side. They're bringing in, you know, it's a multi-pronged attack, the education, the drugs, the food, the water supply, all of these different things are brought in. So we need to pay attention to all of these things. But let me ask you, Clint, you know, taking it from the world of social media to the real world, what can people do?
Well, you know, I'm going to be very bold right now, and I'm going to say something that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to like, especially government. But there's one fact that we all have to realize, and realize it well, and that is that in nature, and I, you know, everything I say is basically trying to get people back to some appreciation of and care for nature, because corporations, including government, which are corporations, treat nature and treat people as artificial things. They treat nature and species as commodities, as things to be managed as capital. Okay, it doesn't treat.
Well, if you can't count it, you can't control it, they'll say.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the point is peaceful resistance, the concept of remaining peaceful, does not exist in nature. Okay, this is one of the things that has been foisted upon us. All of these things that you're talking about, Jan, the mind control, I'm here to tell you that peaceful resistance does not exist in nature. If you go watch, you know, go out in nature or go watch a nature show, I hate to say that, and watch how mothers protect their children. Watch how when you go approach a nest and listen to the bird, a little tiny bird dive bombing your head trying to protect its eggs. Okay, peaceful resistance does not exist in nature. This is so important. If you want to do anything, you're going to have to get out there and say no physically, not just online.
Take action and not just.
This is it. We are at war right now. And the solution to war is not to hold up a sign. It's not to leave a chat comment. It's not to sit around all day and listen to radio. It's to get out there and say no.
Yeah.
Stop these people.
Well,
these people
we have to have the real target, though, because we don't want to fall into a situation like the Occupy movement versus the CAFR.
I agree, and
that's the difficult part, media getting informed, especially having the trivium so that you can cut through all of the fallacies and get to the core, is so important, you know. And so, you know, right now, the only way we have to share that information is through the social media, but we do need to be aware of these issues and how, you know, they're constantly trying to turn this stuff against us. But, you know,
well,
and it's still we the people that run their, you know, their network servers and everything else.
Let's talk about the definition of violence. Okay.
Now, that's a good one. And I think, you know what, you said this the other day, wasn't it you that brought this whole issue up about violence?
We were
talking about boxing? Was that you?
Maybe. I don't know. I have these conversations all the time. but what is violence? Now, the automatic assumption is that violence involves
violation.
Right. But that's not necessarily, when I say that you need to go out and act, I don't mean go out and slice the throat of your local politician. That's not what I mean. I mean, you need to withdraw from this thing. You need to physically take your children out of this system, because you have before you, with this report, you have proof that your education system is no longer governmental. It's been privatized. Government, therefore, has no authority, not that it has authority without you giving it to it anyway, but it has no authority to force you into commerce with a private corporation. Okay, things have changed. You're no longer dealing with government because now you're a customer of government. You're a customer of a corporation. It has state capitalist monopoly, just as Lenin defined socialism. So when I say be violent, I mean, you know, what's the solution? Everybody asks, what's the solution? There's only one solution. It's a legal definition, and it means satisfaction of contract. And your contractual relationship with this monster that is literally going to turn your children's mind to mush if it hasn't done so already through injection. So do you have to go out and you have to, you know, get all physical about it? Although I really don't understand why people don't, but okay, probably the same drugs. and food, the drugs and food,
of course,
I should say.
And the fluoride and everything to make them docile.
Right. So when I say that peaceful resistance is not natural, I really mean that. I mean, get off your butts, you know, do something about this. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to say that unless you act today, there is not going to be anyone left to act in minimum 2-3 generations. We are the last stronghold here because technology is, as Sagan that said that we're fastly approaching what's called the singularity, where technology is now doubling every few weeks or something, you know. So you're going to reach a point of no return where people are, and your children are going to be asking you because they're watching their Saturday morning cartoons.
Why didn't you do anything?
No, they're going to be asking you, oh, Mom, did you see that advertisement? Can I get a biometric filter in my arm so that I can interface with our computer? Hey, Mom, TV says I can have a more enjoyable experience in watching TV if I can just connect it to my brain. Can I go get a chip?
You know, I saw this insane film the other night called Antivirus, where it was about a society where people had been so conditioned where they actually wanted to go out and get the viruses and colds and flus and diseases of the stars, etc., and that these companies would collect these viruses and then sell them to the public, and then there was a black market of these fake alpha diseases out there, etc., right? I mean... You know, this is the type, you know, and you can see them, you know, they're actually so psychotic that they would actually push something like that, you know, like some company trying to get the patents on different viruses and stuff from different stars so that they could sell them to a totally dumbed down and stupefied society.
I before the movie, I broke down and finally went with a friend to see Elysium yesterday. And I wasn't going to see it because I actually wrote a thing on it. It was a pre-movie review, basically, you know, explaining what Elysium is. And it's basically another movie promoting the elite being separated from the poor and how the poor support the elite through, you know, slave labor. It's a typical science fiction movie that gets made over and over and over in different ways to promote exactly what we're talking about, human capital. And one of the things, in the future, maybe 60, 70 years, and one of the things she said, I just smiled when I saw it, because you'll always, you know, being from Hollywood, I would always see the scripting and how they would add little things to promote government and promote military and promote, oh, thank God Homeland Security was there. And so she used the word, you know, make sure Homeland Security protects us. And then she used the word cloud. She said, you know, something to the effect of, it was supposed to make you think that cloud servers are a good thing. In other words, store all of your information with a cloud.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've been trying to reveal that, too. And, in fact, I interviewed Dave Asprey a few weeks ago from Bulletproof Coffee, who's one of actually the pioneers of cloud serving, you know, ironically, you know. And, he, you know, and it's just such a, you know, the whole thing with cloud servers, people... Get your data off of the cloud servers and put it on your own goddamn hard drives and keep it that way.
But this is what I'm goodness, trying to tell people. You know? I'm trying to say, people, take your natural self out of the computer realm as much as possible and be human again.
Sure.
It's the
well,
same
sure.
Thing.
I mean, we still need to, you know, I mean, we can write our letters and things. I guess you can pick up a pen and do it that way and go take it to the post office or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, there is a serious communication factor there, and we can share ideas and information far
sure.
faster. And with that, we can also, you know, co-opt their corruption as fast as they can pump it out.
Yeah, it's a, like we said, it's a double, triple, quadruple-edged sword, unfortunately. So, but, you know, the message here, again...
Single most important concept you'd like people to take away from this two-hour-plus show.
It's your children. For God's sake, folks, it's your children. And if it's not your children, it's your cousins, it's your whatever, it's your family, it's your human family. And again, these are the people who are going to be in positions of quote unquote authority, which really means permission, but that doesn't matter anymore. These are the people that are going to be in charge of things that are very important to your and your children's future. And if we don't, I mean, I've never seen anything in my whole research experience that has concerned me as much as this, because this, again, is the blueprint for the future of implementing this brave new world. Basically, this is it. This is already here. I should have noted also that. You know, the reason that I contacted Deanna Spingola over in RBN, I said, let's do an interview about this. But the reason that she finally did it is because I had to send her, don't mean anything by this, but I literally said, I sent her a thing that says that Chicago, the whole Chicago school district, is now being run by CORE. And she lives in Chicago. You see, in this way, it affected her on a local level. It's not just a national or international thing. It affected her on a local level. So just let me read you a few of these things, just so you know that this is everywhere. This is in at least 46 states, okay? From the CORE's main website. It says, CORE awarded staffing contract for Milwaukee Public School District. Milwaukee. CORE Consulting and Staffing recently won a bid with the Milwaukee Public School District to staff for their fall 2013 school year. This isn't just for a few teachers here and there. They need to hire 100 science, math, and special education teachers. They love the special education, and we think we understand why. Through our proven vetting process, we are staffing the best national talent to support this large school district of 78,000 students. That's 78,000 students in this district that are now on an international corporation, public-private partnership through CORE. Expanding the CORE Consulting and Staffing footprint to the Brew City is a valuable addition to our services reach. Okay, it's telling you right there that it is reaching and it is growing by leaps and bounds every year. It's creating a footprint, as it says, into all of your school districts. CORE is to provide IT staff augmentation for Ohio. Okay, this is now it's one of the staff providers for the entire state of Ohio, not just a school district, and that is pre-K, that is K-12, and that is the university system as well. Okay, this is again IT staff augmentation. So, and the last thing it says, this is part of our strategic growth and expansion plan as we continue to move west from our northeastern stronghold. It's telling you that it's slowly and yet incrementally, fast actually, infiltrating into the west from India. We continue to move west from our northeastern stronghold. My God, people. And, you know, please keep in mind, too, that this is not India infiltrating the U.S. This is a U.S.-funded corporation
in
based
India.
In India.
Yeah.
moving in. So it's a way to hide the operations of government through its corporate monopoly, its state capitalist monopoly, and then bring it back into America through contract. And I get the impression that it's doing that because it only has to pay the company itself in Indian, I think it's rupees, yeah. which are not very valuable. So it's also saving money in that way. So we're talking about a total infiltration. The LA school district's already there. The state of Ohio, Milwaukee, Chicago. I mean, it's all over. It is all over. Staffing and recruitment services will be deployed from CORE's New York City offices at 1 Penn Plaza, further expanding the footprint of CORE, growing IT staffing business. That is for the UMass, or Massachusetts IT Staff Augmentation Contract. Again, a statewide contract. So what I'm telling you people is whereas before it was okay to say, oh, well, CORE, that sounds bad. I hope it doesn't come to me. I hope. It's time for action because it's already stepped into its footprint is right on top of you and your child. So that's why I say it's the hope is out the window at this point. Okay, we already discussed Obama is supporting this. It's trying to get it in the entirety of Georgia. Okay, it's now in UMass Boston, Dartmouth College, Worcester. Okay, it's already there. So unless we do something in the real world again, withdraw our support for it, withdraw our children from this system that is now privatized, we have lost the war because this is the front line of that war. Mind control, education, and government. So, yep. I mean, you know, what else can I say?
All right, Clint, thank you so much for such a long and detailed interview on CORE, and I'm sure people will get out a lot out of it, and let's hope that they take action as well in
yeah,
the
again,
real world.
Let me just say, there's other people working on this. So, like I said, September 11th, there's going to be a it's an internet-based thing, of course. but there's several doctors that will be speaking, and it is to autism, and it's Rima LeBeau's baby.
And why don't you send her information and book, et cetera, so that we can post that up for the show as well, and then I'll try to follow up with her.
Yeah, that'd be great. One of the speakers, which I highly recommend, is Vera Scheibner, excuse me, and she was actually someone I used to quote in my vaccine documentary. So this is about vaccines creating autism and then creating a workforce, basically. So lots of good speakers. Myself, whatever. So anyway, man, thanks. And again, people, it's time to stop this. This is no longer can be inactive. You got to abandon hope because hope creates inaction. You have to do something about this.
No more Obama hope dreams, folks. Let's actually get up and take action. No more pillow sitting.
Yeah, and children are the greatest political weapon ever. So now that they're abusing children, I think it's time to not let them say it's for the children anymore, because obviously it's not. It's for the pocketbook. It's for the expansion of corporate education and workforce employment. So,
All right,
Jan, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, dude. Take care.
You too.